Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist.
Let's talk about important stuff. Planner's marketing department is still doing that baby peanut shit. And I think just as the Daily Zeitgeist, we want to ask them to stop.
Yeah, so that'll end just off the strength of this second-rate podcast.
It is our official position that you should stop that shit. It's weird, and please. I don't like it.
The baby's
21 now. Okay. Hold on.
The baby's voting for Kanye. We're talking about the baby peanut from the
baby
planter.
Peanut.
Okay.
Right.
But the last commercial ended with the old man dying and then there being the birth of a new baby peanut.
It's me again because reincarnation is real and your Judeo-Christian conception of the afterlife is bullshit.
Oh, shit. Okay. That's it.
Yeah. That was the subtext.
How down are peanut sales for these motherfuckers to like nobody asked for this.
Right.
Nobody asked for this, yo.
I just, the world of marketing is the strangest, evil, most evil. Like, just, I want to be... Like, please, somebody find the footage of the pitch for this, of the pitch for some of these ideas are so bad.
Who
Any
buys
Pepsi
peanuts,
commercial?
Though, regular? Like, I like peanuts. I like almonds. I like nuts. They're great.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. I mean, who's, like, the consumer that they're activating?
Cab drivers, elephant handlers. people who are waiting in hospital waiting rooms,
bored baseball fans,
but yeah, just like, you know what, I got some fucking peanuts, I'm gonna eat these shits, man.
I'm just gonna shell these things in my garage. Yeah,
but I mean, they're kind of like salty protein pellets for the capitalist.
Saying they're bad, so, I'm just like thinking of like how, like, who are those, like, real, you know, like, because I feel like my grandparents had like the one wild ass like barrel of peanuts that lasted damn near my entire like educational career. Right. But like that felt like a one time. And but like it's like I feel like who among us are the regular purchasers who are like, yes, Planters, no matter what, you have my money, my support.
Nah, you know what gets me though, bro, is the people who eat sunflower seeds. Like, yo, first of all, motherfucker, if you are eating sunflower seeds in public, especially on public transport, and I see you get up and in your seat is like a pile of sunflower seashells, bro. Like, I'm gonna call you the fuck out. That shit is human bird food. Y'all need to stop. eat a fucking sandwich. Eat like a steak, like an actual, like, or if you're
you know why, but I like it's like the wing. The wings of seeds, where it's a little more interactive. You know, I'm just not like going for like, you know, if you like that weak shit, then eat the fucking boneless nuggets, okay? Get your shelled sunflower seeds. I'll put a little work in. But the thing is, I'll never eat sunflower seeds like casually. Like it's always on a road trip or I'm like camping or I'm like outside where I know I can just be like, just like spitting them shits out everywhere. But yeah, I don't know. I think that's like, because I remember spending the longest time as a kid, I used to just eat the whole shit. Because I didn't have
the whole seed?
Yeah,
because that shit is still inside you right now.
I don't, how did you not get ulcers, man? Like,
I don't know, man. But, you know, my shits haven't been right for at least 14 years. And so the whole thing with that is, like, I just didn't have the technique to shell a peanut. You know, like, because you would see someone, like, an adult eat a sunflower seed, like, what the fuck?
Like, put that shit in and, like,
yeah, like, like, watch that, all shelled. Yeah, see you next year. And then take off. And you're like, whoa. Yeah. So,
just like little specks of
and I'm
seed.
Like, I'm like, still to this day, like, when I get frustrated, I revert to like cave brain. So, like, if I'm like, I remember putting curtains in, I couldn't get the drill bit right. I'm like, fuck it. I'm like, just like smashing it. So, like, with the sunflower seeds, it's the same reaction. I was like, I'm like, how do I get that shit out of my, fuck it, I'm eating the whole goddamn thing. Shit.
Nah, yo, it's a fine technique, man, you know.
You ever stub your toe on an inanimate object and then hit
beat
it
beat the
afterwards?
Shit out of it?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Fuck you, man.
Oh, yeah.
I do that.
That shit up, throw it out the window,
I'm on my fourth bed. This week.
Yeah.
Or I'll be like, I'll do the thing where I'll be like, hey, I'll stub my toe and I'll just look at it. And I'll be like, okay, next time I see you, it's fucking ugly, bro.
It's over. If I see you in these streets, it's all sight.
And then Her Majesty, my partner, she'll be like, why is the bed frame on fire in the alley? I'm like, bro, I don't know. Must have fucked around and found out.
You didn't do that?
No, I think the bed found out. The bed found out what fucking time it was.
Fuck around and find out, right?
My four-year-old has grown out of that phase already. Like, he used to hit things when like he would bang his knee on it or something, and now he's just like kind of laughs it off. And I have
we could all learn from him.
I know. I have yet
is he giving lessons
out of that.
Does he do 1 hour therapy sessions?
I mean, he meditates for 3 hours every morning, so he's
right. And he's levitating and shit too, but keep that
on the low. He's pretty good at it. What is something you think is overrated, Samantha?
Overrated. I have decided houseplants and people who are obsessed. I know it's quarantine and I know there's a lot of stuff that we need to do, but I don't understand this need for houseplants and why you have to have a jungle in your house while you're surrounded by your sadness, your depth of darkness, and your ferns. Why
do plants make you sad, Samantha?
Yeah,
what's going on?
Sam,
maybe
what?
Because, maybe because I'm really jealous and mine always die and it doesn't matter. They all die. And I'm pretty sure they're suicidal or something because I'm like, they're trying to die on me.
It's the draining that I learned I was not
draining.
Like, half the time, they're like, well, where's the water going? I'm like, I don't know. I watered the plant. And I'm like, then people are like, it's just sitting there at the bottom. Like, then it's not properly, it'll be over water. I'm like, oh shit. That's why people would be watering their plants in the sink. I'm like, that's stupid. Why you leave your plants in the sink? Yeah, so there's a lot
of... Hold on 1 second. I need to bring my closest plant over so I can show it off to you.
Do you need a hug on it? Is he going to go and
he's about to cart in like an award-winning Jerusalem tulip.
Yo,
that's not even. That's like the garnish they put on a bouquet that you put in like a plastic pitcher from Shakey's Pizza.
No, really though. Did you just take a stick from your yard and put it in
I
dirt?
Know it's
no shade.
It's
that's
not
your
even,
kids, right? Your kids did that, right?
What? No, this is me. This is so dirty, so dead. I think this must be the remnants of. There must have been something else in here. But
So
that's also not how unobservant I am, is that that's been there for the past 3 weeks and I haven't
done
anything.
Maybe it's because I'm dead inside and therefore having living things around me makes reminds me how dead inside I am. Yeah. But yeah, I feel like those are overrated.
Sam, just embrace the change, you know, because it's the failure of the plants dying that you fear, you know, just embrace that. Just go into with some, that's the thing. Succulents helped really restore my faith
I've
in being able to.
Three succulents.
How many? Oh, yeah, I know this.
People keep giving me plants.
Yeah. All right. Well,
why?
Plant gang, help her out.
I'm going to get yelled at for this, aren't I?
How'd you kill the succulents?
Yeah. Succulents, did you overwater them shits?
Now, this is one thing that I have to say. People who move to California start getting cocky about being able to keep plants alive and like how great they are with it. Everywhere else in the country, like plants don't grow despite themselves. Like, in California, you just like drop a seed and a plant, like a tree, will be there tomorrow. California is just the easiest place to grow something. So I'll maybe extend the.
Wow. Okay.
But wait, I just saw your plant, and aren't you in California?
What? No. That's,
hold on, my Zoom connection is dropping out. I gotta go.
Indoor plants are different. Okay. Oh, okay, the indoors in California are very inhospitable to life. What is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Well, I was looking into, my kids are really into the Muppets right now.
Mm-hmm.
And specifically, they've been watching like the new Muppet Babies.
And there's new Muppet Babies?
There's a new Muppet Babies.
Oh,
you're not talking about Scott Gardner's Tiny Fuppets?
Oh, I love Tiny Fuppets.
No,
Kremit?
I think it's like a Disney Plus thing.
Okay.
Just a sidebar. Dude, the Scott Gardner animation Tiny Fuppets is the funniest thing because it's the most blatant ripoff of Muppet Babies, but like the thrust of it is that it's not a ripoff, and like they fight to like tooth and nail. Like at one point, the creator of the show comes on to like set the record straight, but it's like, how could it be? This frog is called Kremit.
It's really good. People need to check it out. Sorry, Scott Gardner is a genius. But so what you were looking around at Muppet Baby stuff?
I was specifically looking to see if there was any kind of continuity to the Muppets that would make sense. Because we also watched like the first Muppet movie, which is about how they all met when they were not babies.
They're full grown.
What
Mupps.
The fuck?
Yeah. So I was trying to reconcile that. I was like, is there any kind of explanation? So I did Google it.
This sounds like an episode of After Hours, by the way, where you would recreate the whole background.
That's the thing. I looked it up and there were like a lot of people have dug deep into this. Like I found one, there was like a really long essay on Medium called "The Muppet Babies Cannot and Should Not Be Treated as Muppet Canon."
Oh, wow. Interesting.
I thought that like the best explanation I found was like someone posted on Reddit basically suggesting that the first movie and like the TV show where you see the behind the scenes, that's the real Muppets. And then the movies in between where, and like the Muppet Babies are all things that like the Muppets have acted in.
Right. You know, because the Muppets get meta a lot of the time, right? Like there's
exactly. Yeah. So that by that token, like the Muppet Babies was like them selling out in the '80s, you know,
right.
For
a Saturday
intro.
Morning cartoon.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. Like, and there's so many like 80s pop culture references throughout. So it makes sense that they're just like trying to cash in on George Lucas and Steven Spielberg style things.
Yeah. So it does make sense. You know, if you do a bit of work, which I did because we're in the middle of a pandemic and,
and that's what we got to do. What's up with what's going on with Nanny in the new Muppet Babies?
Nanny is there. It's the same deal. You only see her legs, but she's voiced by Jenny Slate.
Oh wow. Yeah. Okay. So this might be a new generation of Nanny, maybe.
Yeah.
Huh. Is she still rocking the striped leggings?
She is, yeah. And you don't see her and you don't get any, you know, inkling as to why she
don't
she's
need
the
just
lone
ruining
adult.
The time. It's like, dude, all right, Nanny, get out, bro.
What did you picture Nanny looking like as a kid? Did you have I always pictured like a blonde woman, kind of looked a little bit like a grown up Penny from Inspector Gadget, I think.
I actually, it's weird. I intentionally avoided trying to think of what Nanny looked like. because I was having trouble. Like, I was like, well, if these people look like this, and if they do a Star Wars episode and they look like this, then what does this person, I'm like, I don't even want to go there. I would just take it as shin
I'm
down
the same
woman.
Way.
Just like, you know what, whatever, you're in the way because it's about the Muppets. And thank you, Nanny, for everything you do, but please get back to Fozzie Bear.
And you know, I'm the same with podcasts. I don't want to know what you people look like.
Oh, yeah, no one does. And when they do, for listeners who have not looked us up, do not. Just keep it, make it pleasurable for you. Just enjoy the voices because our grizzlers
are so surprised by the tats.
Yeah.
By the neck tats that I bring to the table.
And, you know, I kind of rushed into getting those 4 Audi rings as a neck tattoo, but, you know, I think it looks cool.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. What is something you think is overrated?
Okay, so I've just really been annoyed with leftist Twitter after the VP announcement.
Uh-oh.
And I'm just like, I'm sorry that nothing is perfect in the entire world. Mm-hmm. But can we stop talking about, oh, I don't want to vote for the lesser of two evils. That's literally what it is to make a choice between two things.
Right.
Which thing is less bad?
Right.
Well, and I'm sorry, like, if you didn't understand from the last election till now that actually the two evils were pretty different, then I don't know what to tell you. And, like, look, no one's getting what they want. It's fucking politics. Just be an adult.
Right.
I think, I mean, I think I feel the criticisms are valid, But I understand too, like, if it's, there's no like point in then also just saying like, well, I'm going to remove myself from this thing and allow like just the fascist party to just get a full head of steam going into the next 4 years. I think right. That's like, that's pretty reckless, because that's the one of the only ways that we can stave that off very narrowly in the context of this election. But also, like, I think the frustration is just generally for people, like, to your point, the idea that no one can get what they want, I think should be really upsetting to people, because there are so many people seeking equality, and to just have this idea that nobody's going to get what they want is it's hard to like stomach that. And I think that's the thing.
Mean it in a large way, not like, we
like
can't,
the perfect candidate for each single person. Yeah,
that's
sure.
All I mean. I don't mean it in like, oh no, we can't get what we want in terms of like workers' rights or rights for Black people. Like, of course, I think that is non-negotiable and that we will get that. Like, I think that we tend toward progress in the long run. But if we haven't noticed how much worse things became from Trump being in office, then like, I don't know what we're doing. Right. And also, it discounts and shits on a lot of people. Like, Kamala Harris wasn't somebody that I was that interested in. You know, I don't really care if someone makes someone cry on television. Like, I like that she did that. Like, that's great that Brett Kavanaugh was crying. But I'm not going to elect somebody for that. And she's a cop, and that is my problem. And that's a lot of people's problem. But
yeah, it's not to the point where like, all right, end it all. Just pack it up.
I mean, I think
but
that
I
was
didn't
Brett want to
tweet any
problem.
Shitty and like sarcastic stuff, because I also saw a woman post a tweet about like a 93-year-old Black woman that she was canvassing on the phone with, was crying when she found out that Harris was the VP, and she was talking about picking cotton and shit and like having the fucking wish that she could tell her grandmother that this is something that's happening. And I don't think we should take everything away from the people to whom it means something by just being so shitty and callous. You can definitely tweet an argument and be like, this is what I don't like about this. But to do the thing where you just completely negate and shit on the entire thing, that's a disservice. The reason Republicans have fucking been able to get their agenda across, because they would rather swallow the giant shit that is Trump than abandon their party. And it's not honorable, but that is how they've gotten more shit done.
Yeah. No, for sure. I mean, the Republicans are an insurgency. They're like a smaller portion of the population. They're more willing to just all take their marching orders and get behind it. And that is definitely an advantage that they have.
It's just like, anytime I get angry about this kind of shit, I'm like, okay, that's more time I need to be putting into local politics. That's more time I need to be putting into like candidates that can make a big difference in like where I live, instead of hoping that everything in the world's going to get changed when I elect the president.
Right. Yeah, I think you're going to find more people in line with whatever your political ideologies are, the more local you get. Like at the federal level, like it's just hard to do that. So that's why you get these candidates who's like, it's like, the architect of mass incarceration plus California's top cop is the ticket. And then, but that's just what it is, because you don't get there being like super hardline with your ideals, or else you typically, those people fall into activism and not politics. And I think that's what you're seeing now is more on the local level, people moving from different spaces into politics. And I think that's why we see more of these candidates, like at least from Congress, like from the House of Representatives down, see a lot more people that are like, oh shit, like this is somebody who's really kind of like on that wave. So I hope that definitely keeps going.
That's the trend I think that is good, because I think people, if the frustration isn't directed into like putting action into your local, local politics, local government, then that frustration is really useless. And like, that is what the other quote unquote side wants. Like, it'd be great for fascists if we stopped engaging in the election
in all
process.
Politics in general.
Yeah, and everything.
Right. And finally, Sam, what is a myth? What's something people think is true, you know, to be false, or vice versa?
See, this is what I've been thinking on this, because last time I came in, I wasn't quite prepared. But I think one of the things that, again, God, I'm such a sad sack. I'm just always a sad sack. That the whole idea that if you have the means, that adoption is a great answer for you, and it should be a family who adopts a kid. And I think that's a complete myth. And not adoption is not for everyone, and especially adoption is not necessarily for rich people. So stop it. Mm-hmm. Stop it.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And also the term rehoming for young children is awful.
Right.
Awful. Just want to go with that. But I've been thinking on this quite a bit. I guess you can tell, because we've been talking a little bit about adoption, and that's been in our episodes on my podcast. But I'm like, I think we just need to go ahead and let people know. Please stop talking about loving Jesus and how you're going to save these kids. Just stop it. Just stop it.
Interesting. Okay, so because I'm completely ignorant to the adoption scene, the game, what that's like. I mean, the last few stories I've read have been in relation to like really awful stories, to your right. point of people with like, we have these big hearts.
Right.
And yes, this child may be a murderer from Ukraine. I don't know. And I will say that when I abandon them to justify right. this. But like, so, I mean, like, educate me, because I'm completely ignorant to the myth you're even sort of dispelling.
Right. So this whole idea that the reason, well, as you know, it's still a big topic about religious rights and organizations, foster care organizations and adoption agencies being able to deny LGBTQ plus couples mm-hmm. from adopting, saying that to truly have a good family and upbringing, it needs to be a nuclear family, essentially a Christian family, male, woman, you know, having that and having the means. And that's it. That's right. kind of the whole,
that's
like,
all you
if
need,
you can
yeah.
do that and you can pay the, you know, $30,000 to bring a child over, go for it.
I mean, just like anecdotally, I'm like, my friends with the gay parents is doing way better than right. my friends oh, with yeah. the nuclear families.
So well adjusted. Right. So, yeah.
That's the conversation that I've had with many people that
right.
honestly, the LGBTQ plus, because they understand trauma, they are probably a little more, and this is not necessarily researched. This is sure. not something that I have looked into, but as a social worker that's been in that industry, they're probably more able to handle trauma as versus to a family who wants the perfect looking family.
Right.
And I know the YouTube couple, the Stuffers, I don't know if you know any about this, adopted
no.
a kid, an autistic kid from China. I want to say China. I'll have to go back and look at that. And realized, oh my God, it's hard. It's hard having an adopted child from a different country who also has autism. And it's not necessarily difficult because he is difficult, but because they don't understand how
right,
to handle
right.
or cope. And so they made a lot of money, through their YouTube channel with talking about how philanthropic this was and how amazing of a couple they are and doing all of these things for this kid. And then he just disappeared. And everybody was like, what happened to this child? And by the way, they had their own biological children as well. And everybody kept asking, where's this kid? Where's the kid gone to? And they came back with a statement, we had to rehome Huxley was his name.
Wow.
We had to rehome Huxley because we were not able to, you know, deal with his issues. And it was became a huge thing where, like,
they called it issues?
Yeah.
They were like, we had a neurally atypical child that we were wholly unprepared, like, because of him, you know, we didn't know what the
exactly.
hell was going on
That's
with that.
Exactly.
So, you know, we had to rehome.
It's just
wow.
very selfish.
It is such a whole big thing. They made
yeah.
a lot of money. They made a lot of sponsorships. And
I remember
then they
vaguely
had to come back with that.
Yeah.
So as of June, they were investigated. And finally, I think people have forgotten about it, essentially. Because the truth of the matter is, when it comes down to adoption, which is really gross, I honestly discourage a lot of people. I, as an adopted child, of course, am very grateful, but also can tell you the struggles that I've had to deal with growing up, and even now as an adult, trying to struggle through some of my identity stuff and what it feels like as an interracial family. And I say interracial, I'm the different race of the rest of my family, and what that looks like, especially today, and the idea of I grew up in a Southern home with a white family, so go from there. But what it looks like when you really need to look at the fact that this is not going to be a Hallmark story of this child's going to be grateful to you and you've saved
understand
them.
What comes along with it.
Right.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
It's a thing. And I'm actually very discouraging to people that I'm like, you really need to understand these are the things that's going to happen to you. And that's the good, like the best case scenario.
They're like, but I was just watching This Is Us.
Yes.
And,
yes.
You know, I found a wayward teenage teenager,
and we just
like
cried
be.
And hugged each other, and we
yeah.
were okay now.
And it was weird. Yeah,
like
at first they were breaking
side,
shit.
I feel like also
yeah.
something like that. There's
and
probably
it's that buildup of the white savior, and you're like, no, yeah. this is why this is so wrong.
It's just enough to have a big house, and you're good.
And two people as a couple, great.
Right?
Yeah.
Heterosexual couple.
Yeah, the means argument the means argument that people have though is really like is something, because again, some of the most fucked up people I know come from means. You know what I mean?
My God.
Because the philosophy of the parents was, man, the fuck you need, man? I got all this money and shit. What you hungry? Right. Here's like $300. I'll be back on Sunday night, and it's like Friday morning. You know what I mean? And it's just like, and then we would go there and party. Because it's like, yo, the parents left, like, you know, all this cash. Like, we can just order pizza all day. There's no parents here smoking my weed.
Right.
And then they're missing, you know, that real, like, parental upbringing that they miss. And then I realized through my therapy that I was actually raising some of these kids.
Right.
Some of my relationships ended up being me raising some of these kids because the parents were like, hey, man, you're the smart kid. Like, help them out.
Right.
And I take that on literally. And then I'm like, holy shit, man. Like, the dad made me raise his son.
Right.
The fuck?
And that kid ends up in your phone as spider muffins.
Or mushroom cock.
Or sigh, dad's disappointed.
That's too rough.
Stop it. Just on election, like prognosticating, there's like 538 open their pick, and they have Biden winning at the exact same percentage that Clinton they had Clinton winning on the night before the 2016 71%, which if you have a free throw shooter going to the line at the end of the game shooting 71%, you feel like shit.
No, you want Mark Price pulling up to the free throw line.
90s, and that's just not gonna happen.
Who was the best free throw shooter back then?
Back then, probably Price.
Okay.
So yeah.
Sure.
I mean, Steve Nash was one of the greats. Curry,
you know that thing
I think,
about
is the best of all time.
Free throws that's fascinating is that it's a lot more accurate if you do it with two hands from between your legs. But because it doesn't look masculine, basketball players won't do it.
Right.
Isn't like the record holder has doing it granny? Because we even call it
Rick
granny
Barry.
Style.
You yeah. know
exactly.
I mean?
It's to be like...
Look at us, problematic. You know what I mean? Just
cheating better
y'all.
Is gross. It's women's work, not just women's work. Old women's work.
We need someone to fully disrupt the game with, like, yo, that shooting technique is fucked up, but they cannot miss, and it's all the rage.
I mean, that's
LeBron,
what happened.
If he was brave enough, this would be his next thing.
Rick Barry shot from between his legs, granny style, 89.3%. Career free throw shooting topped out at 94.7 in the 78-79 season. He got Wilt Chamberlain to start shooting that way. Between
and then people made fun of him.
For one season, his free throw shooting percentage went up like 30 percentage points, and like he became a solid free throw shooter, which made him the most unstoppable person in the history of basketball. And then, yeah, he... thought he looked whack, so he changed back to shooting horribly.
And he's like, and I have sex 900 times a day.
I mean, that
was he compensating for the free throw shooting?
I was just gonna say that.
Oh, they want to talk shit about my free throws? Why? I have sex
like 300. Suck my dick, quick! Do it right now!
Validate me!
All right,
talking about the election? Damn.
Yeah, we were talking about free throw shooting because of the...
Wow, look at us. Look at us,
71%.
Huh?
There's also the guy who I was feeling... Like, I'm just trying to, you know, this is not stuff that I put any stock in. This is just a temporary way for me to get to sleep at night because I don't drink anymore. Looking at these polls and being like, okay, well, maybe, like, Biden will win. There's also the guy who's predicted every single presidential election from 81 when he started putting this like thing together forward. He's correctly predicted them all, including Trump winning. He has Biden winning, but then when you look at his methodology, it's like based on him saying that Trump isn't charismatic, which is like a totally subjective distinction. And I don't know.
This is
not
the thing. You got to vote, man. Every single, and that's all we can keep saying in regards to this election specifically. That's you have to act like the guy is trying to steal the election, which he is.
He
so
is,
therefore,
actively.
Please act accordingly. And, you know, we'll, as we get closer and closer, see what else has to be done.
Yeah. All right, guys, let's take one more break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. And finally, what is a myth? What's something people think is true, you know to be false?
So my brother and I have been looking at new cars a lot lately, and we always believed that if you got a red car, that your insurance would go up and you're more likely to be pulled over. Mm-hmm. Nah, that's a myth. That's not a real thing. Apparently white cars get pulled over the most, which I was like, why? We don't know why. That just happens. But get a red car and enjoy your life is what I'm saying.
Wow, I had no idea. I definitely had heard that before. I also heard red cars just actually go faster. Is that true? You know? Like scientifically,
always. Yeah, it's just the fire trucks. Any red vehicle is going at least 20 miles over the speed limit.
The one I remember of that one was that like red cars got in more accidents.
Huh.
Oh, interesting. And I doubt that's true, too.
And so that was like a thing where people talk about it. And I think people just were like, well, it's associated with more reckless behavior. But I don't know. This is like that shit that like people talk about in the early 90s and like ends up being like an accepted fact for like 30 years. And they're like, we should have looked it up. We should have just looked that one up.
Google came sounds around like in big, 2000s.
Sounds like big white car paint is behind this one.
Big white. Or white. The man. Yeah. That's right.
And Zygang, if you work for Dr. Pepper, we also want to know
what's going on
with y'all.
It is actually hard to find. I had trouble. I went to a 7-Eleven and I Dr. Pepper is like one of the, I actually like Dr. Pepper in context. It all started when I started having Montreal smoked meat that a Zyte gang member gave me outside of the show. And I started sipping it with that. And they don't have
really?
It. Well, you, normally it's a cherry cola. I was looking up like how you respect the Montreal smoked meat sandwich. It's really supposed to be a cherry coke or like a janky cheap cherry soda. So I've been getting into my Dr. Pepper. That's like my one little like soda indulgence that I do. And I was surprised. The guy was saying it's like, oh yeah, like it comes in and out. He's like, they're having problems. And I was like, sure, maybe like 7-Eleven's having problems. But then there was like this tweet of Dr. Pepper being like, look, we get it, man. We're going through some shit right now.
It's probably wow. because Dr. Pepper is trying to work on a vaccine at
the
same time.
Yeah, he's on
the
front line. Yeah.
Yes, yes. So the thing that they have, it says, having trouble finding your favorite Dr. Pepper product? We're doing everything we can to get it back into your hands. That means working with our distribution partners to keep shelves stocked nationwide while ensuring the safety of our employees. We appreciate your patience and encourage you to contact your local retailer directly for the most up-to-date availability of Dr. Pepper products. They won't give a comment on this either to elaborate.
Dr. Pepper is like a huge like cult thing. I didn't realize that, but there's like all these, you know, famous people who would just only drink, like I think John Lennon would only drink Dr. Pepper.
Forrest Gump.
Would, like, yeah, Forrest Gump liked him some Dr. Pepper. Hillary Clinton, big Dr. Pepper head, big
Dr.
Pepperman. I don't know if that's true. Could be.
Anthony Kiedis.
Uh-huh. Okay. I see what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Isn't Sergeant Pepper's the idea was from Dr. Pepper?
Is that true?
No. Come on, man. We're riffing here, baby.
Wait. Sergeant.
No, wait, but did John Lennon really like Dr. Pepper?
Yeah, he apparently really loved Dr. Pepper. But I love that idea. That's kind of the first time I had heard that of like a food that people are like, okay, you need to pair this with a diet Mountain Dew or like something like, you know, a soft drink pairing. Like you always hear about it in wines, but that's dope. I do like have very specific sodas for specific occasions. I do like a cherry Coke when I'm at the movie theater.
Oh my God.
With the popcorn. So good. You too?
Oh yeah, you know it.
Oh wow.
Honey, this one's eating my popcorn. Men in Black joke.
Yeah, yeah. Which isn't a joke.
It's just like a weird punchline that
I'll take. Yeah. You don't know what the setup was. Are you a Dr. Pepper clan, Jam?
I've had it. I like it. I you know, I'm not a big fan, no. I wouldn't know what to pair it with. I feel too intimidated to
Right, exactly.
And you know, you go to the fancy restaurant and like the waiter like tastes the Dr. Pepper for you. And,
right.
You know,
well, if you're having game, I suggest Dr. Pepper. As somebody who doesn't drink though, it is real like you feel less than when they're like, oh, well,
this pairs,
you know,
wonderful.
My wife, yeah, they talk about pairings for my wife and I'm like, I'll have a Diet Coke.
Yeah.
Can I get one of them DCs, man?
Yeah.
Could you make it extra cold? I like it with
this is a Sauce Vide pheasant. Will that pair good with tab? I'll have that. That sounds good.
That would be dope if waiters were like, oh, you know what's really good with this?
Oh, non-alcohol?
Coke
okay.
heavy.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Jolt.
Yeah, we need a better name for like a more adult sounding name for soft drink. Remember when Harry Potter was popular and they made like more adult covers so people didn't feel stupid reading it if they were adults on the subway? That's what we needed, a soft drink that sounds like a more grown up thing that you can order at a restaurant.
Soft drink is fine.
But how are you going to get more professional and adult than a doctor, Jam?
Right.
President Pepper?
Professor. Professor Pepper.
Just Ooh. Pepper MD.
Let's get Dr. Pepper tenure and, and we'll talk.
Wow. We need to find out his first name and then we'll just call him like Reginald Pepper MD or something.
His full name is Dean Kane Pepper.
Jam, what is something you think is overrated?
For overrated, I put down Kevin Costner.
Overrated? Sorry.
Overrated.
I thought you said Kevin Costner was overrated. Did you think I said underrated?
No, Kevin Costner, the actor,
is underrated, right?
Well, think about it.
You said it's overrated?
There's a lot of good Kevin Costner movies.
This episode is over, Jam. No, I'm just joking. Go ahead.
There's a lot of good Kevin Costner movies. I'm not going to say that Kevin Costner movies are bad. I love a lot of Kevin Costner movies. But I struggle to think of like a Kevin Costner movie where he was forced to emote or do anything other than maybe throw on a pair of glasses.
And like furrow his brow.
Yeah. Like he's not a good actor.
He's
and
not.
I think he just kind of got great. Like he's on a show now that's
right
super
now.
Popular.
I don't want to do this right now. I don't want to do this.
Oh, is
right
he?
Now.
What's the show?
Yellowstone, and it's fucking tight, bro. It's the number one fucking drama on cable, man.
Yeah.
It's got Sawyer from Lost in it.
I think movie star and actor are two completely separate like skill sets. I think he is a great movie star. He's the best example of somebody who has all of one and none of the other. Like he is not an actor in the least bit. He just knows exactly like where to be and how to look and everything. And like that's why there's like these really handsome dudes who become good directors because they become movie stars without being really good actors at all. They just like know everything. Like,
Kevin Costner
just
looked like what like a you know. The kind of dude that like women just loved back then. Like he just had that vibe of like, that's what the star is. And then he just had to merely appear in like the context of being like star guy. And it was like, good enough, man. Robin Hood, don't care if you can't act. Great. Bodyguard, sure. Does he have like a suit on and he'll just like do scary stuff? Great. I mean, I did like Wyatt Earp, but I don't know if I liked him in it. So
this is what
to
I'm
your
saying.
Point.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what though? I can't. Waterworld. I don't even talk about it. The Waterworld is untouchable. Fantastic. He spoke Portuguese in it. That was some range. And he was had gills. Thank you. Rest
but
my
I still
case.
Think like
bye-bye.
Waterworld. He put. You know, he could have been bonked on the head as an Iowa farmer and woken up in Waterworld.
No,
and,
but it's more than that. It's more than that. It's more than that. More.
Wait, I'm sorry. Do you know Iowa farmers who have gills behind their ears, Jam? Because
no, I'm saying if he kind of like, if it was like a dream, if all of Waterworld was a dream sequence that like the guy in Field of Dreams was having, it would make as much sense in terms of the performance.
But he played the hell out of those ear gills, bro.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's like true. You could tell he had ear gills from the start.
I feel bad because
he did convincingly drinking his own pee. That was,
that was
but it. He converted it to potable water. But yeah, he really does. He has no. I remember as a kid seeing him win like best director and best picture for Dances with Wolves, and I got angry, and I was seven, and I don't know why.
Sure.
I was like, man, fuck this guy. I don't know why. I have no fucking idea why. But I have a very visceral, like this very strong memory of watching that happen and being like really dissatisfied with it.
A lot of those handsome dudes who become really good directors make movies that don't really hold up. And I feel like Costner, Ben Affleck, some of those, Mel Gibson. Like, when you go back and watch Braveheart, it's pretty rough going
it
a lot
was
of the time.
Up against Godfather 3, and it beat Godfather 3. You beat Francis
Have
you seen
Ford. Godfather 3?
Yes, dude. That shit's the sickest one. And to see Kevin Costner win over Godfather fucking 3, that's horse shit. And y'all know it.
The sickest one is my favorite. It's not the best one, but it's
the
so tight.
The sickest one, dude.
That helicopter
the other two
scene
didn't even
is
have
so
Andy Garcia
sick.
In them.
That's great. All right, that's going to do it for this week's Weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. It means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.
Zeit gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at CedarPoint.com.